We welcome you all to the house of the Lord. Direct your attention now to the Gospel of Luke. We are studying, of course, the miracles of Christ. This is the miracle wherein Christ cleansed 10 lepers. But the interesting point we'll have here as well is only one of the 10 returned to give him thanks and to praise God. So this becomes kind of a thanksgiving message as well as a story of this particular miracle. Hear the word of the Lord now from Luke 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Leprosy in the ancient world was a dreaded disease. Actually, the term is kind of a broad term encompassing almost any kind of malady of the skin. Anything that messes up the epidermis would come under the category of leprosy. Sores, scabs, burns, boils, rashes, psoriasis, scleroderma, any of those things we would have. Even though today the technical term for leprosy is Hansen's disease, and it is a very serious and fatal disease, a lot of the atrocity found in leprosy in the ancient world was not necessarily in each case. And in many cases, they could be healed. One of the interesting things is, and we'll see in just a moment, the Old Testament provided 2 very long chapters, over 50, almost 60 verses each, in chapters 13 and 14 of Leviticus, talking about leprosy. And the reason that leprosy is so important to our discussion of Thanksgiving is that leprosy symbolizes that defilement of sin from which we have been cleansed by the atoning blood of Christ. And the gratitude that comes to our heart is not mere gratitude for wonderful and nice things that God does over all the earth, but it is pointed, it is focused. It is a gratitude for what Jesus has done for us in a particular instance. And that instance is he has cleansed us from the defilement of sin. Now, in this particular story, we have Jesus traveling. He comes upon this village. On the outskirts of the village, he meets a leper colony. The Old Testament required that a leper, if he was diagnosed as having leprosy, should not do anything to his hair. His hair had to be unbraided and unkempt. He had to wear tattered clothes. And he had to cover his face, literally put his hand over his mustache, and he had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," everywhere he went. And another thing is he was sentenced to solitude. He was to live alone. And because of the confinement and the separation, these lepers often would seek solace and comfort with one another. And this is what Jesus found. He found here on the outskirts of Samaria a leper colony. And 10, we don't know how many total were in the colony, but 10 of these lepers, seeing Jesus, knowing who he was, did as blind Bartimaeus had done and others had done, took up their own case and pleaded with the Lord to heal them. Now, the background to this is a particular instance in which the Lord healed a leper a little earlier in his ministry, and all 3 of the synoptic gospels record that incident, of Jesus healing that leper. And if you'll read the accounts, they almost all have the same detail. Very little variation in the story. It goes like this. A leper cries out to the Lord. Jesus sees the leper. The leper comes to the Lord, and the Lord reaches out his hand and touches the leper. And he tells the leper to go to the priest and tell the priest what had happened. And he tells the leper to do what the priest had required, that is, to bring a sacrifice and an offering, a gift to the Lord for the cleansing. The text also tells us that in these instances, the leper was healed immediately. And then he goes to tell the priest. Just a little incidental thing, in each of the cases, the Lord told him not to tell anybody. And in each instance, they disobeyed the Lord's command and told everybody they saw. The result of that in each of the other instances was Jesus had to retire or had to find a desolate place to get away from the crowds because he couldn't find rest because the people would press upon him because malady, sickness, disease, depression, demons are virtually universal. Everybody is afflicted with something. Everybody has some malady, some problem. And what makes this particular malady, leprosy, so instructive is it carries with it this weight, this connotation of sin's defilement. And this has influenced the scriptures probably more than you realize. For example, we all are familiar with the great prophet Isaiah. We're familiar with his experience before the altar of the Lord, how he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he, getting one glimpse of the holiness of God, saw the defilement of himself and said, "I am unclean, and I have unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people. The whole population has uncleanness." And Isaiah then would write in one of his prophecies that the whole body is sick, that there's no soundness in it, that from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, we're full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's a description of leprosy. That our sinful condition that we're in is like the leprous condition. And before he gave us that particular instance, talking about his experience in the vision in the throne room of God, he identified it with a particular thing. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died." Did you know that Uzziah died a leper? Uzziah had been a good king, one of the best kings in Israel, actually. He was a king of Judah that began reigning when he was 16 years old, and he reigned for 52 years. Talk about term limits. He reigned for 52 years, and by and large, what he did was great for the nation of Judah, and it pleased the Lord. But at one point later in his reign as king, as he began to kind of feel like that he had an importance beyond just being an ordinary potentate, he had entered into the temple of the Lord in an attempt to offer the incense. In other words, he, a king, had encroached upon the territory of the priest, thus making himself illegitimately a king priest. And he was punished by being stricken by the Lord with leprosy. Because he had usurped the place of the coming king. The coming king, Christ, was to be a king and a priest, not Uzziah. And so he was then forced, according to the law, to live in solitude for the rest of his life. And he died a leper. And in the year that King Uzziah died, a leper, Isaiah saw the reality of sin. Of sin in himself and sin in the population, in the people. The vision that Isaiah had in the temple that day was not just a vision of the holiness of God, but it was a vision, an insight into the insidiousness and the depravity of sin in the human heart. And that is what needs cleansing. That is what needs purging. Now, just in the moment or two that I have left, I want to take you to a place in Scripture that I trust every one of you have been, and I trust you have spent time there. But my general thought is, perhaps you haven't. And I would love for you to turn there and mark this in your Bible, because I'm just going to hit a few highlights and I want you to read it for yourself. I really sincerely do. I think you don't understand atonement. You don't understand the work of Christ unless you understand these two chapters of Scripture, Leviticus 13 and 14. Leviticus 13 and 14 teach us more about the atoning work of Christ, the cleansing, purging work of Christ, and God's operation upon our soul by His inspection than any other verse you'll find, including verses in the New Testament. Because as you look there, you'll see that your text will probably say something like chapter 13, the laws of leprosy. And so it describes leprosy, some of the things that I told you earlier about what leprosy looks like. But what is insisted upon over and over and over and over in this chapter, in fact, there's a lot of repetition in the chapter, is simply this, that the people, if they had any kind of affliction of the skin, were to go to the priest, and not just any priest, it had to be the high priest or the sons of the high priest. In other words, it had to be the house of Aaron, not the house of Kohath and some of the others, but the house of Aaron. They had to go to the high priest. And it was the high priest's duty to put an inspection upon them and to give a diagnosis. And that's what chapter 13 is. Over and over and over, it talks about how the high priest looks at the person's skin and makes a diagnosis and determines whether it is clean or unclean. And that is precisely what our high priest does for us. He gives us the closest inspection. He knows our hearts, our thoughts, our attitudes. He knows our perversity and our persuasion and our proclivity. He knows us like no one else knows us. And upon inspection, He determines whether we're clean or unclean. And that's what chapter 13 is all about, making that pronouncement following the diagnosis of that disease. There's time allotted in there. If it appears that it's inconclusive, there's a 7-day quarantine. And then there is another inspection. And if necessary, another 7-day quarantine. There is this process whereby it is determined that a person is unclean. And then, if they are healed, by the way, there are no therapies, no treatments that are given. The healing that comes is the healing that comes from the Lord. It is not medicinal. There's not a vaccine. There's not a salve. There's not a treatment. There's not a therapy. There is a fiat, miraculous cleansing by the Lord. And if one finds themselves to be clean, they are to present themselves then to the priest again. And this is what chapter 14 is all about. Chapter 14 tells us all about the law of the leprosy, how that after 7 days, upon the 8th day, the leper is to present himself to the priest. And let me just, I wish I had time to go through the whole process because it's beautiful, but let me just kind of summarize it for you. What the priest is going to do is going to receive from from the person that's been cleansed an offering. And first they bring two wild birds, two flying birds. They bring the birds in and one is slaughtered, and the blood is slaughtered. They're slaughtered in an earthen vessel over living water. I want you to listen to me in the next 5 minutes now and see how many images of the person of Christ that you find in this particular thing. An earthen vessel, incarnation, living water, the blood shed and poured out. And they were also ordered to bring cedar wood. Not every place in the Old Testament is the old rugged cross, but here's one of them. Scarlet wool, the symbol of the blood of Christ. They were to bring hyssop. Hyssop is that branch that was used in the purging and the cleansing and all the sprinkling rituals. And there was a ritual there in which the person brought the gift, brought the sacrifice, and the Bible says and uses the word, the priest made atonement. Now all this took place outside the camp. The priest went out for this ceremony. This was kind of a rugged preliminary ceremony. Then there was another period of time that passed, and the cleansed person then was now able to approach the priest in the temple. And he was to come to the temple and was to bring two male lambs and a ewe lamb, and the lambs were to be slaughtered. One lamb was to be slaughtered in order to make the atoning blood. And it was to be slaughtered, and the blood was to be poured and sprinkled. The blood was to be put upon the person, upon his head, the lobe of his right ear, the thumb of his right hand, and the great toe of his right foot. The application of the blood of the atoning sacrifice from the top to the bottom. As Isaiah had said, the whole body is sick from the head all the way to the foot, is to have the application of the atoning blood. Then they were to bring an oil. They were to bring oil that had, it's about a third of a liter of oil. And that oil was to be put where the blood was. Wherever the blood was put, the oil was to be placed. The oil symbolizes the anointing of the Spirit of God. When David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil," it wasn't just a pleasurable thing. It was a symbol of the power of God upon the life that had been infused now into the life by the atonement. The leprosy was walking death. And now this person had been brought from death to life. They were to have a mixture of oil and flour, fine flour, the living bread, that would be baked into a cake and a wave offering of thanksgiving. All the wave offerings in the Bible were thanksgiving offerings. They would wave the grain. They would wave various things before the Lord in a ceremony, calling attention, saying, "This is that which we have gotten from the Lord." And there was an outpouring of thanksgiving and praise for what the Lord had done. And this elaborate ceremony, you need to read about it. You need to see there all that is involved. The bird, the wild bird, was released into the wilderness. The perfect symbol of expiation, the taking away of sin. Much like the scapegoat on the great day of atonement. Everything in this particular ceremony speaks of the cleansing, saving work of Christ. And the interesting thing about our story is that when Jesus saw them, he told them to go to the priest. Because if they would go to the priest, and he says in the other instances, bring the offering. If they would go to the priest, if they would go through the ceremonies, the rituals that are there, they would be hearing, seeing, and understanding the gospel. And every person in Israel should know Leviticus 13 and 14. And know what was being signified and symbolized what gospel was being preached by the performance of this ritual. Not cleansing of the leper, but the ritual that symbolized that he had already been cleansed. And it was a marvel to Jesus that the only person that seemed to catch on was the Samaritan, the foreigner. The most famous leper ever healed in the Bible was Naaman, a foreigner, a Syrian. The gospel of Jesus Christ goes wide to the world and deep to the heart. And that's what the cleansing is all about. The cleansing from leprosy is that cleansing and that atonement, that purging, that removal, that healing from the sickness and the scars and the boils and the putrefying sores and the deleterious effects of sin in our life. And if that's happened to you by the divine power of God, you're grateful. You're ready for Thanksgiving.